Bibles in. Let's turn, if you will, to the Epistle of James. James's Epistle, chapter number 4 tonight. James chapter number 4. And we are going to deal with these last few verses of James 4 this evening. And see tonight that a plan without God is not a plan. A plan without God is not a plan. Have you ever heard the phrase, "He's a man without a plan"? Maybe you've heard that before. What do we mean by that? What we mean is that that person is kind of reckless. They're kind of just going off by the seat of their pants. They're going through life with their hair on fire. You ever heard anybody say that before? I mean, just kind of just going through life. No plans. See, they're just a regular James Dean, a rebel without a cause. I mean, just going down the road, tooling down the road. You say, that man right there is a rebel. Or you might say, that person right there is on a reckless course. Or you might say, that person right there just doesn't know where they're going in life. But it seems like they do, according to our text here. According to our text, it seems like that everybody knows exactly where they're going. They say, we're going somewhere. Tomorrow, today, we will go into such a city, continue there, buy and sell and get gain. He's saying to us, he says, go to now, ye that say tomorrow, today, tomorrow, from next day to this day. Hey, they seem like they've got a plan. They seem like they're doing something. They seem like it's just business as usual. But when God tells a prophet or a man of God to say, go to now, it's usually not good words that are going to follow whenever he says that. He says, go to now and talk to these people that are saying things like this. And I want you to tell them, verse number 14, I want you to tell them that whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and to doeth it not, to him it is sin. You say, who is this man, this person, that is living without a plan? Well, I have to tell you tonight that it's me. It's you. And it's any one of us that ever go through life without this one thought in mind, if the Lord will. If the Lord will. If we go through life without a plan saying, if the Lord will, it's not a plan. For you see, for a plan without God is not a plan. See, I think sometimes we're prone to think that we can handle life on our own, we can do it by ourselves. And we can sometimes maybe get into a pattern, into a rote, into a routine, thinking that we've got it, we can handle it. We might never say that like that. We might never say, well, I've got this thing under control. I can do this, though I have heard people say that before. I have been privy to a couple of people every once in a while that say things like, I got this. I can handle this. We might not say it like that, but many times we prove it in our actions. Listen to God's word on the matter. God says that a man's heart deviseth his way. A man thinks that he's going to do something in his heart. This is the way he's going to do it. This is the plan he's got. But listen to what the Bible says. But the Lord directeth his steps. Man says there are many, or about man it says there are many devices in a man's heart. There are many plans and schemes in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. We've got a lot of schemes, but that doesn't hold up underneath God's scrutiny if God says no to the plan. If God says no, it's not going to hold up under his judgment. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his way? How can you even understand your way? Because every path we go in is of God. Jeremiah worded it like this, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in a man that walketh to direct his steps. Now, I don't get much plainer than that, does it? Jeremiah 10:23. Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. Do you realize that you can make your best made plans? You can write them down in your calendar. You can put them down in your notebook and get them sketched out. Maybe in your Apple calendars or Droid calendar, whatever kind of phone you want to use, and sketch them in digitally by pen, by ink, or however you want to. But here's the deal: is that God is telling us that we don't even know the way of that we can find in our own selves, but every single thing is directed by the Lord. We ought to listen to God's word on this matter. 6 weeks before this 6 weeks, nobody would have ever said this is what it would be like. Never would have said that. And I was talking to a friend of mine today, actually I was talking to Brother Gear, and he said, I don't know, I'm just talking, just opinions and everything, but just to think about it. Have we really even felt, maybe things are starting to get back to normal, but have we felt the economic impact of this yet? Perhaps we haven't. I don't know that we have. And that could come another 90 days, 100 days from now. You see, but the thing is, I don't know what's going to happen. 90 days, 100 days, a year from now, I don't have a clue what is going to happen, and neither do you. You see, what we have all learned through the whole entire experience of COVID-19, and whether we disagree, agree, whatever we think about it, it makes no difference. We can all say it's disrupted our lives. But one thing we can all agree about is this, is that God is in complete control over everything, and I am not. If you can't agree upon that subject, then you're not with me here at the beginning. God is in complete control, and I am not. And we ought to learn the simple phrase, and we'd be better off if we were, and we've been really well off if we had learned it 6 weeks ago, if the Lord will. If God be willing. I went back to my sermon outlines, and I was digesting all the sermons that I preached out of James 4:13-17, and I preached a couple out of them. And one thing that was very interesting, even as I went all the way back to 2007, I've got a sermon that I found. It wasn't really worth very much. Didn't have one good illustration in there. But I'll tell you, one thing I found, even going all the way back there, something that pervaded every single sermon, was that this is dealing with a matter of attitude. And attitude determines our action. An old Scottish woman one time was prone to, who sold buttons and threads and shoestrings. She was always prone, when she came to a crossroad, she would take her pen or stick or whatever she could, and she would toss it up in the air, and whatever direction it would land, whatever direction it would point, is the direction she would go in order to sell her goods that she had. One day there was a man passing by, and he saw the old woman, as he was prone to see her many times on his journeys. But this time was different. She kept throwing the pin, throwing the stick up in the air over and over and over again. And finally, the man just got the best of him. He said, dear old woman, he said, oh, why do you keep throwing the stick up in the air? I thought you had told me before that in whatever direction it pointed to is the direction you would go. She said, yeah, but it keeps pointing to the left, and I'm going to go to the right. You know, that's sometimes just like our attitude with God, is it not? God, I don't know if I want to go that way, so I'm going to keep pressing going this way in order to make this thing work out. I'll put a square peg through a round hole if I got to, God, but I'm going to go the way that I want to go. I'm going to get to where I'm going. I don't care, God, what you say so many. God, it's not that we don't even say, I don't care, but we know what God says in His Word, and we say, I know what God says, but I hear people say this sometimes about childbirth and how to discipline children and how to take care of children and everything. I know what God's Word says, but you don't understand my situation. I hear people say this about money. Lord, I know what God says about debt and money and all those kinds of things, but
yeah.
I hear people say this about marriage, but I know what God's Word says on the matter, but you just don't know what my situation. I hear people say that about church. Don't you? I go to church and I know God's Word says we got to, but I just can't find a church that suits me. I know I should give, but you know, I'm on a limited income right now. I know what it says about the widow with the two mites. I know that. Don't bring that up to me right now, okay? I don't need that. I know what God says about... you could pick out anything, could you not?
Right.
I mean, any subject, whatever you want to talk about. Whatever is your pet peeve. Whatever is your Charlie horse, if you will. Whatever gets you... gets your goat. I tell you, we all have something in life that we can say, I know what God's will is, but... you don't understand my situation. I want to preach to you about two attitudes tonight. A wrong attitude and a willing attitude. A wrong attitude begins with boasting. The Proverbs Bible says in Proverbs 27 verse 1, it says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. That's what James is telling us. I think James is a little book of Proverbs. It's also a little book of the, it's kind of an exposition also of the Sermon on the Mount. It's a couple of different things. But nonetheless, James nearly says the same thing for he says in verse 16, he says, but now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. The thing that is condemned the most in the passage that is before us tonight is a boasting of tomorrow. A boastful spirit that says, I will do this or I will do that. I will go into this city and buy and sell and get gain. If you want to put it in our modern day vernacular, you know, I'm going to graduate this year. I'm going to get this job. I'm going to retire 5 years from now. I'm going to move on to this next position in life. And if we're not careful, we'll be constantly boasting about what we're going to do tomorrow. Well, I'm going to do this tomorrow. And we forget the little phrase to say, if the Lord will. In fact, I think we should practice it. All right? Why don't we all practice it? Let it come out of our mouths and roll off our tongue a couple of times. All right? Let's try it. You ready? Here we go. If the Lord will. All right, that's pretty good. Maybe some of you watching that Facebook Live, you can type it on there right there. You ready? Here we go. If the Lord will. You ought to try that on for some time. It works. I tell you, it'll settle your nerves. It'll calm your spirit. It'll help you out when the next time that you've got a big project or something happened and it all gets messed up. And you can say, you know what? It's the Lord's will. I said it, the Lord will. And obviously, God. And now, I don't need to preach on this too much right here, but I do just want to say, I am not preaching against planning, okay? That's not what the Bible is teaching here at all right? Look at the message of the 10 virgins. You can go back to that and see that God is all about preparation, okay? God is all about preparation. He wants us to be prepared. He wants us to plan. The point is this, is that we fill out our calendars and we say we're going to do something, we don't put God in the picture. The people that James is preaching to is the same crowd that we've always dealt with and we're dealing with today. People like you and me that so many times we get too busy in life, we forget that today may be our last day. Or we forget to even live. I like what one sign I saw in a house one time, it said this, sometimes we get so busy making a living that we forget to live. We forget that life is not about what I can make or what I can get out of life. It's what I can give in life, and it's what it is about living life. James is reminding us here that life is more than just about making a living. We get caught up in what we want to do, planning our calendars, making our schedules. And one thing that we're prone to forget is that today or tomorrow could be our last day upon the face of the world. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews. You're right close to it. And you should just turn over one chapter, or one book over to Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 27. don't know. I just kind of felt pinned up a little bit this morning. I don't know. I don't know if it was just I was nervous or what it was or being back in church or whatever. Some of y'all must have saw that. But I just feel a little bit more looser tonight. I don't know.
Amen.
Well, I might preach a little bit tonight. So. You can turn on and off if you want to on Facebook, I guess. You know, but y'all stuck here tonight. So.
Go ahead.
Hebrews 9:27. You know this verse. And as it is appointed unto men once to die. You know, every one of us have an appointment that you can't cancel. You ever heard somebody say, well, you know, I died and I come back? No, he didn't. He didn't do that. The Bible says there's an appointment unto death, once to die. And then after this, the judgment. We die one time. One time. And you all and all of us have got an appointment day. And we ought not to ever forget that. But Moses said it like this in Numbers 9. He said, oh Lord, he said, apply my heart to, he said, teach us to number our days that I may apply my heart to wisdom. If you want to be wise, if you want to be a smart person, if you want to be a wise person, then you'll number your days. You'll say, I don't know how many more days I've got left. I've seen that I've already lived this long. And God's been gracious. He's been good to me. He's been gracious to me. Bible says is that days of a man is 75 years. And if they be 80 years long, or 70 years, but if they be 80 years, basically they're full of toil and sorrow and trouble in his life. Our lives are short. They're brief. James says that they are a vapor. That's what they are. Ever seen a vapor come up off the ground or maybe from a pond or whatever it is? Our life is even a vapor. You're saying, he's telling them, he's saying, you're saying, we're going to go do this, we're going to go do that. And no doubt he's preaching to a church here and he's talking to people that were in the church. He's not talking to lost people. James is a book written to save people. If there's a book written to save people, James is it. He's talking to saved people that have trusted Christ as Savior, to the 12 tribes scattered abroad, greetings. He's talking to Jewish believers, and he's saying, you're going to go do this, you're going to go do that, we've got these plans and that, and all of these things, but he says, don't you understand that you do not even know what is on the morrow? What is your life? What is your life? And that is a good question. Man, that's a good question. That'd about be a sermon in itself right there. What is your life? What is your life? I think it's been said before, your life is nothing but a dash between two numbers. Nothing but a dash between two numbers. Our life is brief, my friend. It's just a little dash on a headstone. That's your life. It's just a vapor. It appears for a little time, and then it vanishes away. It goes away. I want to give you some helpful points on how not to have this wrong attitude. The first helpful reminder is this, put God in the plans. Would you do that? Would you put God in the plans? If our plans, let me put it like this, if your plans and my plans are hindering our fellowship with the church, if they're hindering your Bible reading, if they're preventing you from serving God, then you're probably not in the will of God. Your plans are probably not lined up in accordance, and I would say they're probably not lined up in accordance to the will and to the Word of God. When you go somewhere, do you think to yourself, is this God's will? When you take a job, do you think to yourself, is this God's will? Whenever you're living, do you think to yourself at all, is this the will of God? The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter number 5, and you can turn there, and I think it'd be well if you did. Go to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 15. The Bible teaches us here that Paul is writing here to a group of church at Ephesus, and he tells them, he says in Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 15, he says, see then, I say Paul's a good preacher. Yeah, that's a preacher, so that's a good Southern preacher. That's a good Southern language. But see then? See? I want to tell you something. That's what he's trying to say. Whenever he says see then, he said, I want to tell you something. I want you to look at something. I want you to pay attention. See then? See then what, Paul? See then that you walk circumspectly, That means walk with exactness, walk with diligence, is what he says. Have an exactness about your life. Don't walk as a fool. A fool just kind of walks and just lives life as he doesn't think about anything. That's like I said, God's not into this thing of not making any preparations in life. Man, if you haven't made the best preparation of all of making sure that your soul has been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, I tell you what, you are a fool. That's a foolish thing to do, because I tell you, one, our soul is going to either go to heaven or it's going to hell, my friend. There is no middle ground, and you're going somewhere after you die one day. And whenever that needs to be considered, that needs to be thought about. But he says, walk with exactness, walk with diligence. Don't walk as a fool, be wise. And then he says these little words, redeem the time. That's why I put this little clock up here. You've been wondering what it was up here for, why it was the wrong time. It was the wrong time because I didn't want you to accuse me of going over. All right? I still haven't started to serve church yet. I got a whole other hour and 10 minutes.
Amen.
Now, right here, redeeming the time. This word redeem is a little bit different. It actually means to rescue or to buy back. Buy back again. Rescue the time. Now, why would he say that to the group of Ephesians? I'll tell you why he'd say it to the group of Ephesians. Because the people at Ephesus were mainly Gentile people. You know what they had spent a lot of their time doing? That's right, you got it. Living to the lust of the flesh. And sadly, a lot of times Christians live to the lust of the flesh too. And that's what James is getting on to them about right here. And that's what he's talking to them about. He's saying, hey guys, y'all been living too long like this. You've been living too long that it's your life and you're going to do what you're going to do and you're going to live. You're saved, born again, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, Christians, but you've been living way too long with this attitude that I'm going to do things the way I'm going to do and I'm going to live how I want to live. And Ephesians, Paul is saying, hey, guys, it's time to rescue some time. It's time to buy back the time, redeem the time. Get it back. Spend some time. Spend a little bit more time. You say, well, I didn't spend much time in God's Word whenever I was younger. Well, you know what you need to do? You need to spend a little bit more time in God's Word now. You say, well, I didn't give very much, or I didn't do this very much, or I didn't serve very much. Hey, it's time to buy back and get back what you lost in those years. You see, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen. Your life is but a vapor. You could vanish away just like that. And everybody always says, well, I'll do that tomorrow. Never say that. That's what he said. That's another thing. Never say, I'll serve the Lord tomorrow. No, you can't serve the Lord tomorrow because there is no tomorrow. The only thing that you and I have is today. It's all you got. You don't got anything else. You don't have a tomorrow. Because guess what? When tomorrow gets here, what is it? It's today. Is today. Redeem. Buy back the time. Go and find some time to spend more time in God's Word, in God's way, and serving Him, loving Him, for practicing the things of God that you lost out on perhaps in some earlier times, in earlier years. Maybe you lost out on some time yesterday. Maybe you didn't get to God's Word yesterday. Don't feel bad. Guess what? It happens to all of us. Guess what you do? You find a little time the next day, and you spend a little bit more in there. You get your Bible in your heart, my friend. Because the days evil. You see what he said? You got to buy back the time. Because the days are evil. The days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what it says. The will of the Lord. Understand the will of God is for your life. The days we live in, folks, are evil. We live in evil days. Ungodly, unprecedented, ungodly, evil days. Secondly, put God in plans. But secondly, a helpful reminder to not have the wrong attitude. And I encourage you to live today. I won't spend long here. I've already said it many times. But I would like to tell you what Jesus said. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know, I know too many people that are always living for the next event on the calendar. They're living a month ahead of time. You know what I mean by that? They're living a month ahead of time. They're so focused on a month ahead of time that they lose the next 30 days in between. They forget their kids, they forget their marriage, they forget their job, they forget their walk with the Lord, all because, and that's the most important thing, they forget their walk with God because they're all concerned about this X, Y, or Z. They're concerned about, well, I don't know if I'll make this, I've got to do this, and I've got to do this, and I've got to take care of that, and I've got to do all these kind of things. And like I said, I'm not against preparation or planning or anything. I need to be better at it. I'm not the administrator type. My wife has to help me out constantly with this. Live today. You'll end up looking so ahead or forward towards something else that you'll end up missing the fact that God may want to use you this very hour. And then thirdly, consider the consequences. Maybe, have you ever tried to go somewhere that you've never been before? Didn't use the map. Or maybe you tried to put something together and you didn't use the directions. You probably found out that the results were frustrating and dissatisfying. I can always remember whenever I was working for the company, the great company of Sears Roebuck and Company. One of my main jobs was to put things together. I assembled things, grills, furniture, all kinds of stuff. And I can remember exercise equipment. And I can remember a little phrase at the beginning of a lot of those instruction manuals. Please read all the instructions before beginning assembly. And I'll tell you what. If you don't do that, in some of those cases, you'll be so frustrated because you'll get through six steps and then you'll get to step number seven and you thought you had done something right and put something together and it says, please, you go back and look at the instructions and you say, I'm right here, why is it not working? You look through the instructions, you go back to number two on the list. And number two says, do not install this screw until step number seven. And so what do you have to do? You have to take everything back apart. You have to go all the way back to step number two and work it all. I wasn't working the clock when I was at Sears Roebuck and Company, all right, or anything like that. But I'm just telling you that that is a frustrating place to be at. And when you don't follow God's will, you'll find the results to be frustrating, disheartening, hurtful, and very dissatisfying. Just take a look at David's life. David got his sin, and David got all the pleasure he wanted with his sin with Bathsheba, but he also got all the pain that came with it too. He went outside of God's will. He went around God's will to accomplish his pleasure, his moment, but he ended up with pain. Don't push God's will out of the picture just so that you can get a moment of pleasure. If you think that you're just that moment of pleasure is going to satisfy you, my friend, it's not going to. When you push God's will out of the picture, you won't get pleasure, you'll get pain. You'll get dissatisfaction. You'll get frustration. You'll get hurtfulness and disheartening. You'll be discouraged. So God doesn't want us to have a wrong attitude towards this thing of time. He wants us to have a right attitude. He wants us to have a willing attitude. Have a willing heart, a heart that does not give in to all its wishes and whims and wants that it can think up. But don't be a man without a plan. Be a person that has a plan because your plan is founded upon the Lord. Moses had a plan, did he not? I am going to Canaan land. That was his plan. That was his plan. That was he planned to do. And he was going to do that. He had every intention to do so, and he had every right to do so. God had promised him that he could go. But when Moses struck the rock twice, God said, nope, you're not going to the promised land. Did Moses give up, though? Did Moses stop being a leader? Did Moses just say, throw his hands up, say, just forget this thing, I'm going back to Egypt? No, he went with plan B. And he kept serving the Lord in the capacity in which God allowed him to do so. But here's the deal, my friend. It wasn't just plan A or plan B. He had one plan, and his one plan was this: do the will of God. And your moment of unfaithfulness, a moment of sin, or a moment that your life gets fouled up, or something happens that is outside of your control, or we might even say it like this: life just happens to me. When life just happens to you, what do? Plan A, plan B, plan C? Perhaps so. Perhaps you find another place, another well, another way to go. But here's the deal. In all of those plans, guess what? The number one plan is this: if the Lord will. That's the number one. That's what is the crescendo, if you will, of all the plans. That's what is over top of every single plan that we have in life, is that if the Lord will. If God be willing. How many times as I read the New Testament over and over and over, how Paul would tell how he wants to come to Corinth, how he wants to see him in Ephesus, how he wants to see him in Rome, how he wants to see him in Philippi, how he wanted to see Philemon, and every time he said, "I want to see you, I'm coming to see you, I can't wait to see your face and talk to you and shake your hand," and as they said back then, "I'll give you a holy kiss there on the cheek, I can't wait if the Lord will." And on three different occasions, you find that Paul says that to the Corinthians, and on three different occasions, God does not allow him to go see the Corinthians. And I'll tell you what, if you read the book of Corinthians, you'll find out that some people got real mad about it. They got upset because they missed the little addendum that Paul said, if the Lord will. And if you're not careful, you'll get your life all in a huff and a fuss and get all tore up about something whenever somebody told you, "I'm trying to do something, I want to do something, if the Lord will, if I'm able to do it, if the Lord lets me do it, I will be there. I will try my best." And I'm not pardoning laziness, unpreparedness. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying that God, we sometimes get our life all in a turmoil and a mess because we forget that somebody just simply said, "If the Lord will, if God do it," and then submitting ourselves to His will. I'm glad Jesus said, "Not my will, but thine be done." I'm glad Jesus didn't call down 12 legions of angels to set him free. He said, I may call down presently at this very hour 12 legions of angels, not like he needed them. He spoke the word and he said, "I am he that you seek for." What did they do? They fell down backwards. Not like he needed them. But he said, "I'll send them down." But he said, you know when he said that? He said that right after he got out of the garden, didn't he? Right after he got out of the garden, the wine, the press, the oil press, that's what Gethsemane means. It means the press. And he was pressed in the garden as he was being pressed out. He said, "Oh Lord, not my will, but thine be done." And that's what would be our cry. "God, not my will. I don't want my will." You realize that the word and the phrase "will of God" is found 23 times in the Scriptures. People sometimes ask me, they say, "What is the will of God for my life?" Well, I want you to look at the Bible. Have you looked at all 23 examples of the will of God? I can see some looks at you right now saying, "No, I haven't." Well, you might want to go back and look at those first. Amen. Well, I want to find out what God's revealed will is first. You know that in 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9, the Bible says that this, it says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is not willing that any should perish, but that what? All should come to repentance. God's not willing that any should perish. That's why he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins and shed his blood for the sins, not just for my sin, but for the sin of all the world. Every single person's sin. He died for them sin, their sin. He's not willing that any should perish. God is not willing that any should die and go to a devil's hell. But some will, because they won't believe, they won't repent, they won't trust Christ as Savior. God's not willing. How can you and I know God's will for our life? Well, real quickly, write these verses down. Romans 12:2. Well, number one, you got to have a renewed mind. You got to have a renovated mind, my friend. The Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How in the world can you ever begin to know what God's will is for your life if you, first of all, don't get some things, some cobwebs torn out of the corners in your life and in your mind? You're never going to know God's will if you keep going back to worldly thinking. If you keep going back to worldly ways. If you keep going back, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. How in the world are you ever going to know God's will if your mind is cobwebbed up with the ungodly ways,
amen,
and the ungodly people and ungodly friends and sinners and scornful people? You know, you're not going to get the will of God going on here because you're going to have so much other stuff junk going around in your brain. Get God's will in your mind. Renew the mind. I love that word renew. It means to remodel, put things back together. A renewing of the mind.
Amen.
Number two, give your life to the Lord. 2 Corinthians 8:5 says, and this they did, not as we had hoped first, but first they gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. You say, I want to know the will of God for my life. You know what you need to do? You need to give your life to the Lord. You say, I'm saved. I don't need to give God I'm saved, preacher. Hey, you know what you need to do? The Bible says that you need to sacrifice your body on a sacrifice daily.
Amen.
Every single day, right. Surrender your life to God. I believe that in a Christian's life, there ought to be a time of surrender. There ought to be a time of your life where you say, God, I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm blood washed, God. But I just want to tell you, if I've never told you before, that if you want to use me in any way, shape, or form, God, I am willing. Here I am. Use me.
Yes.
Be like that lady that broke the alabaster box and broke it all out before the Lord. Give your life to the Lord. Have you ever given your life to God? That's the will of God. Refrain from sexual sins. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and verse number 3, for this is the will of God. It don't get much plainer than that, does it, my friend? This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. What is fornication? Every single sexual sin in the book. That's what it is.
Right.
Every bit of immorality that this world offers to us today, the Bible says, refrain from it. Stay from it. Get away from it. That is the will of God. Abstain from fornication. Abstinence. Get out from it. There is no room for it at all in God's Word. God says, stay away. Stay away. That's the will of God. Do you realize it's the will of God to give thanks in everything? 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Concerning you. If you and I are not giving thanks to God, these are simple things. If we're not giving thanks to God, then we're outside the will of God. If we're outside the will of God in these simple matters, then why should we expect God to reveal to us all kinds of other matters? So the Bible's silent on that. The Bible doesn't say anything about this particular subject. What do you think God thinks about it? Well, my first response might be to use this to say, well, how do you know all the things that God has told you? How are those coming along? Deal with the things that, first of all, that God has revealed. This is the will of God, my friend. Give thanks. Submit ourselves to governments. Do you realize that in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 15 it says, for so is the will of God that we, with well-doing, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. This is the will of God. What is it? That you submit yourselves to the governments that be. The governments that are around us. And that's not an easy thing to do. Trust me. It's not easy. Some people are having a difficult time with it. They're in this hour, and it's very not easy. It's hard to understand. What should I do? What should I not do? How should I do it? And how should I not do it? And these kinds of things. But do you understand that the Bible tells us in the book of Jude, those people that speak against government are like brute beasts, the Bible says. Self-willed. Self-governed. They have their own. They're ruled by their lusts and their flesh. May God help us not to be such in such a way. The Bible tells us that we ought to pray for our people. We've got to pray for the people that are in our authority. Pray for them. We should not live according to the lust of our own flesh, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of the men, but to the will of God, 1 Peter 4:2. Let's not live according to our flesh. I could preach, we could preach a long time right there. Stay right there. That just goes back to what I just said. If we're going to be carnally minded, we're not going to be spiritually minded. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. See, what I'm going to is this. He says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Life is all about what I can get. See? Buy and sell and get gain. Life is about the next dollar. It's about my bank account. It's about these kinds of things. It's about living according to the light, to the lust of flesh. And the Bible says you should no longer live the rest of your time in the lust of the flesh of men, but to the will of God. Live spiritually. We're either going to live carnally or we're going to live spiritually. We're going to live according to the flesh or we're going to live according to the Spirit. And finally, commit our souls to God's keeping. Wherefore, let him that suffer according to the will of God, 1 Peter 4:19, commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing. See, whenever you're living according to the will of God, whatever comes to your life, bad times, horrible times, you know what you do? You commit yourself to God's keeping. You say, this is the Lord's will. I don't understand it. I don't get it. But I'm submitting myself to God's hand. So I want to be in God's will. You know, a willing heart is submitted to God. But an unwilling heart, or a wrong attitude, is submitted to himself. In life, we filter life through two things. I got these good air filters out right here.
They're good.
We either filter life through my will. When we filter life through my will, it's all about my bank account, my car payment, my house payment. It's all about my marriage or my job or my career or my next step up the corporate ladder. Life is always being filtered through me, my will. I want to do this, I want to do that. Things I just mentioned, I'm not saying they're bad things. I'm just saying that's what we live life for. We live life for those things. And we don't realize that tomorrow we could die. Or we have the option to filter things through God's will. I mean, you can still have a bank account, a great marriage, spend time with your kids. Amen? You can still do all of that through this filter. But it's an attitude. You understand? It's an attitude of that it's not my will, but it's thine be done. We don't filter life as a Christian anymore through the things that I want to do. We filter life through what God wants me to do and how God wants me to live. You see, the thing is, when we live through my will, that right there is a product of the devil. Product of Satan. That's why James says right there, all such rejoicing and boasting is evil. The devil said, my will. The devil said, I want the praise. The devil said, no, no, no. I want to do it like this. I'm going to go like this way. I'm going to say it like this, and I want it. I. And it's all about him. It's all about me. We will go. We will do. We will do this. And if we're not careful, we'll have devilish type attitudes. We'll have attitudes that resemble what Satan had. And I don't want to have that attitude, and you don't want to have that attitude either. I know you don't, not as a Christian. You want to have an attitude that says, you know what? Not my will, but God's will be done. See, when you're like this, you're like Jesus. Jesus is the one that said, not my will, but thine be done. May God help us have a filter in life that doesn't filter things through my will. Go to now, ye that say, we will buy and sell and get gain, continue there for a year. That's not the way. But rather say this, if the Lord will, we shall do this or that. And then he puts this very serious warning on the end. Therefore, to him that knoweth the good to do good, doeth it not, to him is sin. When we now know and see and understand, and we live life through my will, we understand that we're sinning. Perhaps you've lived life a little bit through this will right here. Perhaps tonight you just need to say, God, I don't want to live through that will. That will is always frustrating. That will is always very dissatisfying. That will is devilish. Lord, I don't want to live like that. I want to live through your will. If the Lord will, let us do this or that. Father, we're grateful to be here tonight.